Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Strap Radio Show, the place where community issues are discussed, confronted, and political agendas are exposed. Feel free, whether you're live or whether you're watching at a later date, to reach out, communicate, get involved. That's what we're here for. We encourage it and we love it. So without any further ado, here's your host for the evening, Miss Nancy Plus.
Good evening, Strap Chat Radio's audience. Hi, this is Nancy Pless, your radio show host for this evening. Hey, I'm excited about the lineup on tonight. There's going to be some collaboration as written up on the page. We're going to be talking about some of the church masks that we wear and some of the prostitution that goes on in the church. For many of you that are joining me for the very first time, I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to be a part of our listening audience. Later on within the show, I may or may not open up some of the lines to take some questions if some of you may have a question, but I won't open up everyone's line. And also joining me on this evening, a very, very dear friend of mine, Mr. Robert Maroney, who is a part of the Hebraic community called Yo Community. Hey, Yo Community. I mean, this brother pretty cool, so I can only imagine that the others are pretty cool as well. So we are going to be collaborating back and forth, and we will be sharing some of our personal testimonies and some of the changes that God has brought in our life. And let me say this also for those of you who are joining me for the first time. This is a no-judgment zone. No guilt, no condemnation. We are not here to try to convert anyone over to any one particular religion. We are basically just here to share the truth that God has brought to us and have made known to us, because ultimately what God desires from us as his people is that we live a life of holiness. That is what this is all about, living a life of holiness. And you know that the word of God tells us in John chapter 8 that Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, you can't do the truth if you don't know the truth. So basically, that's what this is all about. We are going to be making known some truths. And so I thank and I praise God for this opportunity, because, and I say it that way because, you know, I have to be there to appeal to all audiences, whether the audience is church folk or non-church folk, you know, the saved and the unsaved, you know, the sanctified and set apart in the worldly, however you want to put this. We appeal to both sides. And so that's why I say there's no judgment here. Again, thank you for joining me on tonight. I'm excited about this. I'm going to bring Brother Robert on the line. Let me get him hooked up here. And we're going to introduce him and let him tell you a little bit about himself and where he comes from. Brother Robert, you online?
Yes, I am. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's good to hear from you. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you for being willing to collaborate, you know, back and forth with me and to be able to share with the listening audience just what it is and what it looks like that God requires of us as his people, you know, coming out of walking in the world, in the ways of the world, in the ways of the flesh, into striving to walk in a life of holiness with God. And, you know, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. It's going to sound easy, but we know that at first it did not come easy. And so it did take some effort on our part. So I don't want to, you know, delve into it right away, because I'm telling you I'm excited about this. But first of all, introduce yourself to everyone and tell us a little bit about you and the community that you are a part of.
All right. My name is Robert Maroney. I was born here in East Texas, raised in Colorado, moved back here to Texas. while I was here, I got into a contact with a community here called Your Community. We're a Hebraic community. We live by Torah. I have a son, 26. You know, I served in the military. I enjoy my job. I enjoy the people I'm around. So that's not a whole lot about me. I don't really try to focus on me and, you know, and accomplishments and stuff like that. I just try to live day by day, you know, with what y'all would call for me to do. At one time, yeah, I used to have, you know, I used to try to make it about me, but I try not to as much as possible now. At a young age, I was called into the ministry when I was 18, and I was fulfilling that call pretty much, I feel, without direction. I just did the best I could with what I knew and what I was taught. As I grew older and I was, you know, more and more in church, there was just some things, you know, that I start feeling uncomfortable with. So this is what it called me to, caused me to look deeper to what y'all called me to do. And that's pretty much about it.
Okay. Now, I'm hearing you say y'all. And I have to ask this question on behalf of the audience, even though I know why you say y'all. But we you know, in the Christianity world, we call him God or Father or Abba. Why do you say y'all? What does y'all stand for?
Well, y'all stands is who we call our Creator. That's His name, Yahweh. Some say Yah, some say Yahuwah, some say Yahweh. I have just here within the past month or so, we're doing, you know, just, you know, doing some more in-depth studying that, you know, me calling Him God. There's a lot of gods out there, and depending on who I'm speaking to, if I say God, and let's say that they may worship their, you know, a different god than me, if I say God, they may be thinking I'm talking about their God. So I call my Elohim, my Creator, I call Him by His name. So when I say Yahweh, they know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one that created me, the one that created the heavens and the earth. That's why I call Him by His name.
Okay. Because I know being around denominational believers and Christians, we just say God, and we know, you know, that's because that's the community, you know, that's the language for the community. So I asked that question. Thank you for the explanation, because there are a lot of people that don't know, and then there are a lot that do, but you don't hear a lot about the Hebraic communities unless you just personally know someone, which is my case here. And so, because we are aware that even in the Muslim community, they address God as Allah. You know,
right,
and so
right.
That we're familiar with. So thank you for explaining that, so that, you know, the listeners will know whenever you say Yah, we know who you're speaking of. So Yah and God, He's the same person. He's one and the same. It's just that in the Christian community, we say God, and in the Hebraic community, and that is how you say that. You know, at first I was guilty of saying, you know, in the Hebrew community, but anyway, in the Hebraic community, He is addressed as Yah, which is short for Yahweh. So, again, thank you, Mr. Robert, for being a part of the show today. So as far as your community, where are they located?
We're located in Cedar Hill, Texas. Our address is 101 Kenya Street, building 120.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet on Sabbath, which is what is called Saturday. We meet on the Sabbath at 12 p.m. And we worship, and we we study the word of Yah from there.
Okay. Okay. So when you say you all study the word of Yah, what do you mean? You're studying the word of Yah. What does that mean?
Well, when we come together to worship, each person within our community has a week to bring forth a word, to bring forth a study of what they've been studying on. We don't so much as have a pastor to stand before us and bring a message every week. Our goal is to dive deeper into the word of Yah, the instructions on what He has called us to do and how He wants us to live. Not knocking the church or anything. There's so many times that, you know, the pastor would get up and he would preach a word, and there are some people that walk out and don't understand anything that he has said. Now, that's between them and their understanding. But here, what we do, we dig deep into the word. We go hebraically into the word of Yahweh, and we get the meaning of what he wants us to do. So that's how we worship.
Okay, so you say you all dig into the Hebraic word of God. So you all, it's like what we consider a Bible study. You all are delving into the Hebraic. Okay, let me say this just for those of you that are listening. I am asking these questions simply because this may be your first time hearing this. Mr. Robert and I actually, or Brother Robert and I, we actually work together.
Thank you.
We work side by side. I need to take some of this pressure off. We work together, so I'm having to ask these questions because I do not want to assume that you, as my listening audience, knows what he's talking about, even though I do. I know that just based on what he has shared with me, they do study the Hebraic, the origin, the original Paleo-Hebrew word of God. That's what they study. And so for those of us in Christianity, we know that the Hebrew and the Greek is one of the parts of our Bible study, knowing the original origin of a word, so that the scripture itself can be used in its proper context. So that's what Brother Robert and the Yo community comes together to do. They observe Saturday as the Sabbath according to the word of Yah. Now, we know that God did not sit up and say on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know, that he stopped working on Saturday, and he didn't do it that way. And so we understand that when the Catholic Church got involved and instituted the days of the calendar and whatnot, that's where all of the division came in, but that's another show. So just so that you all can understand what he's talking about, their Bible study is similar to our Bible study, but it's from the Hebraic method that they come. They get down and study the Hebrew of God's word. I mean, I think it's pretty cool because, honestly, when I am studying, there are times that the Spirit of God will lead me to go and research a word so that I'll know what its original intent is. And as a matter of fact, some of that is going to come out in this evening's broadcast. And you're going to see, yes, I'm ready. I am ready. So that we can move on. So I understand, Brother Robert, you know, what it is that your community does. And unfortunately, I can't attend because I have something else that I do on Saturday. Because informationally, I want to know, man. I just something about the word of God. As I was awakened this morning at 5 a.m. by the Spirit of God, he took me in a direction as far as the Hebrew word that we're going to be talking about on this evening. So I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to lead me on how to segue into this. So let me just do it this way. Let me talk about me. I learned this from my mentor. Let me talk about me. That way, I don't have to point the finger at anybody else. And Brother Robert, you talk about you, you know. But I want to say this. I haven't always been where I am right now. I have not always been in this place physically or spiritually where I am at the moment. I have been here in Texas now just slightly over a year. I'm still new here. I moved here from Atlanta, or should I say God moved me here from Atlanta. And so in Atlanta, I was a part of a renowned known church. And in that church, I held not just a position, but positions. And so some of the things that I'm going to talk about and are things that, that God revealed to me that I was doing then, he's been revealing to me since I've been here. And I'm telling you, it's kind of crazy, you know, and Brother Robert, I've shared this with you. It's kind of crazy, but this is so God or so Yah. So in Atlanta, as I said, I held positions. I held a position as an elder, as a deacon, over a prayer ministry, and I was in the choir. And at one point, early on in my walk of salvation, I was a youth pastor. Did I always do it right? No. I didn't always do it right. In the beginning, way over the middle is, and right now. So I still don't always get it right. You get it right, Brother Robert?
Not always, but I strive to.
That's it.
And really, that's all y'all ask us to do is to strive to do right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that we're not going to be perfect. He knows we're not going to be perfect. He's asking for us to continue day after day after day. That's why he said you die to your flesh daily.
Yes.
You know, he knows it's a struggle for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, every
but
day
he made
is a
provision.
Battle. Right.
Yeah, but he
makes
made provision
yes.
for the struggle. As we say, the struggle is real. He made provisions for the striving, you know. So that has been my more tangible experience in the past year with God. So, no, I haven't always gotten it right, and I haven't always gotten it wrong either. So being in position, you know, there were some things that I did, or to bring in a little more clarity, there were some masks that I wore while I was in church. I wore some masks, and a lot of us believers do it, sometimes aware and unaware, because there is not
right.
one perfect believer. Don't let anybody fool you or tell you that they are perfect. The devil is a liar, and if they tell you that, you better run, because none of us are perfect. So, again, let me talk about me. So, while I'm in church, I wasn't married the whole time of my walk of salvation. Only in the past 5 years, I have been by myself. I'm a widow. And so, as a result of that, I was put in this position by God, and I wasn't in agreement with it. Let me put it that way. So when God called my husband home, I was somewhat devastated, and I'm gonna be straight up with you. I was mad at God. Yes, we do get mad at God. We do get mad at Him. But He knows right where we are. He's okay with the times that we throw temper tantrums. And when we fall out in the flow like little children, and we want to have our way, He knows all about that. He knows all about it. So He just sit there, you know, this is just Nancy's version. He just sit there and look, be like, Jesus, look at her. Look at her. She's going to be all right in a minute. Let her finish having a little fit of carnality, and she's going to come to herself. You know, I'll be able to talk to her a little bit better when she stopped falling out. Like, and so, I went through my season, okay? And so I did some things after my husband was called home to glory, okay? Because as long as I was married and my husband was here, yes, I was faithful, very faithful. And not everyone can say that. But I was faithful to my husband. Took care of him and was at his side when he took his last breath. Now, after that, I went through my grieving period and my anger period. And so my time of grieving and being by myself was 2.5 years into being a widow. And after the 2.5 years, I made a decision, okay, it's time to come out. You know, it's time for me to stop, you know, being in this place. And I remember one day I was merging up onto the highway, and the word of God came to me that you shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. When God speaks a word to you, or when y'all speaks a word to you, I can tell you that in that moment, you may or may not have an idea in its totality what God is talking about. I didn't. Now, for those of you that when every time God speaks to you, you know exactly what he's talking about and what it's going to look like and how it's going to play out, I applaud you, but I'm not there. And I'm being transparent because those who may have the same experience that I do, I don't want you any longer after today to entertain the thoughts of the devil and you asking, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. Nothing. There are some of us that God knows we have to walk a thing out, and that experience has to become tangible so that the word he spoke to us takes on life as we understand it, because the word of God is life. Is spirit and life, is what the scripture tells us. And so in my time of coming out of the, you know, the inward grieving for 2.5 years, I decided, hey, I'm going to do me. And I'm mad. I'm upset because I didn't ask to be no widow. So I'm like, okay, you know what? All these years, I'm watching people, you know, they clubbing and drinking and so I'm in a church where I'm seeing this done. I'm seeing it done. Was it right? No, but it gave me the license to me to do what it was that I really wanted to do anyway. That's what I did. It gave me the license to do what I wanted to do in the first place. So as a result of that, you know, hey, I see other people. Look, they've been this all out there on Facebook. They, you know, I'm friends with some of them. They drinking and they doing their cigars and they going out and they clubbing and whatnot. I'm figuring, okay, this must be all right. This got to be all right. Let me tell y'all something. When you have been set apart by God and his hand is on you, what others can do, you may not be able to do. You may not be able to do. So I found that out. Not that I did not know, you know, the early years of my walk, but, you know, I'm using this anger as a reason for me to pretty much do what I want to do, basically. So I'm in the church, you know, and I see everybody else having a good time and doing them. So, you know, I figure, hey, I'm going to do me. God said, no, you're not. You're going to get somewhere and sit your little hips down somewhere because I got a plan for you. Let me tell you something. Jeremiah 29:11. As the old folks say, Jeremiah 29:11, he began to show me what that looked like. He began to show me just what this looks like. Okay, but of course, in that time, I could not see it. So at this 2.5 year mark, listen, I was brought up in an environment where I watched how to manipulate. Yeah, I watched how to deceive. I was shown how to lie and somewhat get away with it. I was raised in an atmosphere where it was okay to be the great pretender. Some of y'all know that song. But I learned how to pretend. I learned how to camouflage. These are just some of the masks that I'm talking about on tonight that God began to reveal to me that I have been wearing. Oh, and don't let me leave out the fornication piece. Oh, yeah, I wore that mask. I wore it well. Yes, I sure did. And I can say that now. Why? Because I'm no longer there. All of me has been consecrated unto the Lord. All of me. So to God be the glory. That's why I can talk about this, because I'm no longer there. So what I praise God for is he has given me an opportunity, like he told Peter. When you have been converted, when you have been changed, when your experiences has brought truth and freedom to you, go back and strengthen your brothers. That's what I'm doing here. That's what me and Brother Robert is doing this evening. We're coming back to strengthen you. Why? Because there are some things that God called us out of. And we're no longer walking that. But we see and know the truth now. Again, in John, it tells us, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make, in the King James, and set, in the ESV, that's the English Standard Version, it shall set you free. So we understand that anything that is being set means it's being positioned. So when the word of God, the truth of the word of God, is setting you free, you are now being positioned by God to do better because you know better. Let me just put it that way. Because you know, even the world has the saying, if you know better, you do better. They need to understand where that originally came from. So I remember one day, and I shared this with Brother Robert. I remember one day I was on my way to minister, and the Spirit of God spoke and said, what you was doing, you was prostituting. Wait, let me back up. When he told me, actually, early on, after I arrived here in Texas, he told me that I was hoeing. I was like, what? I was what? That don't even sound good. But he told me, he said, yeah, you was hoeing. And, of course, you know, I mean, that made me feel bad. And I tell you, one of the things that my mentor and my apostle says, she used to say to me all the time, she still says it, but not as often. So God don't talk to y'all in real time. He don't let y'all know when he upset about whatever and you're not. And I was like, no. Let me tell you something. Because my sins had me so far from God that I had at one point lost my conviction. I had lost my conviction. I didn't feel bad anymore like I used to, you know, before I started doing the things that I was doing. So it's my heart was becoming even more hardened, and I was starting to become even more numb to what I knew in my mind and from reading the Word of God was a sin against God. But when he told me that day that I was a whole, I was like, yeah, okay, this don't sound so good. And so, I mean, I was talking to Brother Robert, and he just saw the look on his face. But when God tell you that you something, that means it's time to clean this thing up. So, of course, you know, I'm fornicating. Ain't no way I'm walking and living a life of holiness. Now, all these different masks God has to reveal and unveil for me, all these different masks. So he began to do that with me. And I remember about a year or two, about 2 years prior to this transition period in my life, I was given a prophetic word, and God said that I'm going to take you along the scenic route. And the scenic route really is the road least traveled. A lot of people don't like to go this way. So I'll tell you, he took Moses the scenic route because he had to get Egypt out of Moses. He had to set Moses in a place where he could lead God's people and not lead them according to the ways he was treated, although the treatment that went on in Egypt. Because if you are not delivered and healed in particular areas of your life, you can hurt God's people. That you have to know. So it's important. If there's an area that someone comes to you for advice on, or some encouragement in, or they need to be healed, if you yourself have not experienced the power of God in that area for yourself, you cannot accurately minister to that person. Am I right, Brother Robin? I ain't trying to take up all the conversation. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. You're most definitely right. You know, when before you minister to someone, Yah is gonna instruct you on what and how to approach and what to say. Sometimes we make the mistake and we go on our own, and we end up making a mistake and saying something wrong to that person, which may cause them to even go further away. So, you know, when we see someone, we have to ask, you know, is this a person for me to minister to? If it is, give me the words to say. Don't go in, you know, in and of yourself, because we are fallible. We're very much fallible. Mm-hmm. We may say the wrong thing to that person to trigger them to say, you know what, I'm the only one to hear that. And I can say for myself that I have done that, just went in without the permission of Yah to minister to someone and hurt them or push them away. So now if I don't feel the spirit of Yah to tell me to speak to somebody, I don't. I just pray and ask for someone for them to be ministered to, whether it be by me or be by someone else, or they come in contact with someone else. So we are to be an example. We are to live an example, that because we may be the only Bible that anyone ever sees. You know, when we see someone that's in trouble, we pray. We pray, ask Yah to give them direction and understanding, and strength of whatever they're going through. And if it's meant for you to minister to them, Yah will let you know. You know, we have to learn to move when Yah tells us to, and be still when He tells us to.
Okay. Now, the way you said that, I can tell you, my experience has been different. It has been different. The reason why I even mentioned about if you have not been healed, delivered, or set free in a particular area, you cannot effectively minister, is because that's been my experience. And because of the things that I was involved in while I was living in Atlanta, there was a lady that I had counseled. And I counseled out of a place that God had not yet touched in me. And that was a place emotionally. And so when I counseled this young lady, I counseled her out of this place that was tainted in me emotionally. I was tainted there. And so the counsel I gave her was wrong. It too was it was also tainted. And so thank God this was someone close to me that did not judge me based on that and knew that I was not perfect, but also knew a lot of the things that I had been experiencing in my life. But nonetheless, because I was in a position of leadership, what I said, she took what I said to be just what I said, okay? And that's what we as leaders have to be careful of for the leaders that are listening. You have to take ownership, guard very carefully your position in God. If he has you in a place of influence, ask him to check you in the areas of your emotions, in the areas where it could affect you counseling other people. And so when God brought to my attention that erroneously I had counseled this young lady, you know, he brought it back to me. He said, you know, this is what you did, and woo, I won't go all into that. And, of course, I was broken at that point because he had just exposed me to me, not to someone else.
That's the wonderful thing about you.
To me. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, I love that too, brother, because he is the one that removes the reproach. He removes the shame. He does not inflict the shame or the reproach. I've not experienced that. And so by him, you know, dealing with me one-on-one, it gave me an opportunity to confess that thing, you know, to really be sorrowful for what I did and to ask for forgiveness. Oh, but the kicker was I had to calm this sister back. This is where it really started, and I had to apologize and admit that I had erroneously counseled her. Let me tell you something. As leaders, one of the things that I have been taught by my apostle, you have to be, as a leader, mature enough to know when you need to humble yourself. You have to be mature enough to know when you need to be sat down because you are not ready for a thing.
Right.
Now, am I saying that your leader won't know that you're ready for something and that they may push you in a particular area? I'm not saying that, but here's what I do believe and understand. God knows where we are. And if that leader really has a relationship with God, that leader is going to know when to push you and when not to push you. And that's just the truth.
Right. Well, you know, also being the leader, sis, we have to be truthful with ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of times we're not.
Yes, you're right.
Because
that's those masks,
you can
you know,
be,
that's a camouflage.
That's right. That's right. And growth, this is when I started to know that I was growing and y'all was using me, and he was getting ready to do something in my life, is when I got to the point of where I sat myself down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wasn't feeling right in what, you know, in preaching or teaching or anything of that sort. In what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I can't be doing this and doing that. I need to sit myself
mm-hmm.
down And I need to allow God to remove whatever this is in me, so that when I do go before someone, I can be doing it righteously.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. doing it the right way, mm-hmm. not being guilty of what I'm counseling them on. Because
yes.
that there constitutes you as being a hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
You know, how can I come and tell you not to do this, you're wrong on this, wrong on this, wrong on this, and I'm doing the same thing.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it came a point in my life where, you know what, I set myself down. And
yes,
that's
sir.
When I knew that there was a shift that was getting ready to happen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I was getting pulled spiritually another
yes.
way, because
okay.
I had questions, you know, that no one could answer or was willing to answer, you know.
Okay.
Why, you know, who am I? Who are you? Who are we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
And it got to the point of where even my ministry wasn't even growing because I was in a stagnant place of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt that until I started getting my answers, until my deliverance of what I was doing had come forth,
mm-hmm.
I needed to sit myself down. And
yes,
that's
sir.
What I did.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, that was not my testimony. and I say this because, listen, not everybody is going to be quick to submit. I mean, I'm just being honest with you.
Right.
Not everyone is going to, I mean, for some people, they might have to learn some stuff before they, you know, come to that place. And I remember when God told me, I was living in Florida at the beginning of my conversion. I was living in Florida, which is where I'm from. And I remember one night God said to me, like, Peter, you going to learn obedience to the things you suffer. I had no idea what he meant or what he was talking about. But I know now. You can believe that.
See?
And so that's why I said, see, you're, and I thank God for you. You're one of those submissive ones. See, you're one of those that pay attention. I was hard-headed. And so God is still working in me and on me and with me. He said this because I'm telling you, sir, sometimes I'm just hard-headed. But nonetheless, I'm his, you know, and he knows me. But and then there are some areas in my life where, you know, I submit without rebuttal. So, but again, it has a lot to do with the call of God on my life and the environment or the system that I was raised up in. And so, so for me, it hadn't always been easy, sir. I have to be honest. It hadn't always been easy. Now, it's easy for somebody to sit in the seat of judgment and say, but it could have been easy if you'd have just done, you're not me. So you can't say
exactly.
That.
Right.
Because
right.
Moses killed a man. I'm sure he wasn't thinking he was going to do that, but he did. But it didn't stop God
right.
from using him. Peter cussed to do that. And you know, denying Jesus. And he also, you know, we joke about this a lot. I mean, he cut a joker, he'll snap off, you know. So you want to have here what I'm saying. But it didn't stop the Lord from using him. Now, where he might have been the brave one to strike out there, and the rest of them stood by and watched, you might be the behind-the-scenes one that's quick to submit. And some of us are like, you know, we out there, and it might take a minute for us. That's been me, and I'll be honest. Because a lot of times when I be talking to Brother Robert, at work, and he go to explain something, and I go to say something, he be like, let me finish this. Because I'll be jumping out there. Am I right, brother? Am I right?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I'll be jumping out there.
Yeah. You know, but my testimony with this whole thing is, you know, as far as where my sin started,
mm-hmm.
and to the point of where everybody's doing it, okay, and it started mm-hmm. when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started when I was in middle school in youth group. You know, you see, mm-hmm. you know, you in youth group, you see little sister that you like over there, you start talking or whatever, and then it just escalated. And the older you got, the more it escalated. You
yeah.
know, and mm-hmm. you know, you start fornicating. You know, you meeting up. You know, after youth group, and then as you got older, you become a young adult. You know, you going to the Bible study, and you're hooking up after Bible study, you're hooking up after church. You know,
yeah.
and there's this thing. There's this. I just say, lack of a bird, this spirit that hovers, that
yeah.
women look for men in church with a position, and the men in church look for the women that is going to answer to the call of the hookup. You know, because back, you know, when I was coming up, you know, the saying was, hey, I'm going to church because, you know, that's where the parties and the freaks are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to tell you the truth, that's exactly how it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one you hooked up with last night is gonna be up in the choir stand the next morning.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, and like I said, you know, and I was a part of that. I was a part of that
mm-hmm.
cycle.
So
you know.
I. So was
and,
I.
And
yes, sir.
And wasn't being convicted of it because it was like, okay, everybody else doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The deacon's daughter doing it, the deacon's wife doing it, you know, the pastor's daughter's doing it. You know, so I guess it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, you know, we saved by grace. We just go and pray for forgiveness. That is so much wrong.
Yeah, yes, sir. You're right about that. You are right
you know,
about that.
But then there came a time where the growth started. After I went through my anger period with Yahweh, after I went through my drug
mm-hmm.
addiction and my alcoholism and everything, there came a point where he sat me down. He said, I want you to see something. And he flashed everything I had done within the past 6 years of that point, showing that he had his hedge of protection around me the whole time. And
yes, sir.
After that, it was like some scales lifted up off my eyes. I mean, walking outside even looked brighter.
Yes, sir. Mhm.
You know.
Yes, sir.
And then there started a growth in that period. But then
mm-hmm.
there was also
yes,
a pull to something else, something that was more
yes,
that was deeper than what we were just reading and studying. That was in black and white, red, white, in the Bible. It was something deeper in here that I wanted to know, and he led
yes,
me there, and
mm-hmm.
I found it. And now
mm-hmm.
I'm in this walk.
Yes, sir.
No, and I'm
yes,
enjoying
sir.
It.
Yes, sir.
I'm enjoying
mm-hmm.
it. And now I have no problem with walking righteously or putting out my best every day or to sacrifice my flesh, die to my flesh daily.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy
mm-hmm.
thing, mind you. It's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But as long as I keep Yah in front of me, you know, the battle is not mine. The
yes,
battle
sir.
Is his.
Mm-hmm.
And once
mm-hmm.
I, you know, once I give that over to him, I'm done with it.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
have to. I don't
yeah.
have to fight that battle. He fights that battle for me. He moves. He moves those temptations out of the way. It's when the temptations come when you allow them to come. When you say, "Yeah, I'm gonna take care of this one," knowing you're gonna fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the place where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But when you call
well,
me out, y'all, I go ahead.
You said
hello?
That the temptation, that you said the temptations come when you allow them to come. And I said that's true, but let me put it this way, yes and no. Because the temptation is going to come irregardless. It is going to come. Now, whether or not you yield to the temptation is up to you.
That's what I was going to. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But I, you know,
I understand.
You know, when you put your, when you allow yourself to be put, you know, in that position, or when it comes and you entertain that, that's where you fall.
Oh yes, sir. For
that's
sure.
Where you fall.
For sure.
So
yeah,
so
for sure.
when that starts to come, you like, y'all, take this, take this, because I don't want to be in this position. I'm not, you know, resist the enemy and he'll flee. And when you resist him, when you resist him, he flees right on you. Call on the name of Yah, and he raises up that standard. He has to go.
But you know, also, when you calling on God for help, one of the things that again has been my experience is if you are not utterly convinced, or you have not just a changed mind, but also a changed heart, you will keep repeating that thing. That's when you become a repeat offender. If the conversion has not taken place in your heart to stop doing a thing, you most likely will go back to it. But you will go back to it until you get to that place where you realize, okay, I can't keep doing this. It's time for me to stop, you know, the grace for you to keep running back and forth, playing hide and go seek like that runs out. And you do know when that happens. Because you just can sense when something's not right. You know, something is about to happen if you don't stop doing that thing. I was there. But, you know, something you said, going back to the fornication, one of the things that, and I heard God saying this as you were talking, I have to make sure that I bring out, when we are fornicating in church, it is really a form of prostitution. Now, a lot of people ain't going to want to hear this. And it's the truth, and I just have to obey God. It really is prostitution. And so he had me up at 5 a.m. this morning now, and this is what he showed me. Okay, now in the Hebrew, and I got to go here. In the Hebrew, the word zonah, Z-O-N-A-H, it means an ordinary prostitute or a loose woman. Come on, we all know, seen the loose women, all of us have. Okay, but when you're fornicating, this is the person that you now are. And then the other word in Hebrew, kadesa, I think I'm saying it right, kadesa, it means set apart or holy. Now, let me hone in on that. A woman that is a prostitute or a man, and they are loose, that person has been set apart for that right there to do what they're doing. Let me bring it together. Anytime we bow to doing the works of our flesh and the works of the enemy, the works of the devil, we have just been set apart by him to fulfill that thing in the church. And we know that it can also bring a split in the church, especially when we are committing sins, sexual sins like that with somebody in leadership. I mean, it'll happen even with just a lay person, but especially somebody in leadership. And so the things that God began to show me was this. Now, I remember when he said this to me. He said what I was doing was I was being a shrine prostitute. That in no way sounds good. And I said, a shrine prostitute? I wasn't no shrine prostitute. Now, let me tell you, I'm coming to you from the Hebrew. That's why I'm saying all of this. A shrine prostitute was the same as a sacred prostitute, a temple prostitute, a cult prostitute, and a religious prostitute. That's what all this boils down to, prostitution in the church. When we've been set apart to live a life of holiness. okay? But instead, right. we're prostitutes. We all know what prostitution is. Prostitution is the exchange of one good for another. Come on.
Right, right.
I'm
going
to give
right.
myself to you in exchange for what you give yourself to me, you know, or for some it might be I'm going to let you move in and pay my rent, or, you know, we going to room together, and you know you're doing more than rooming together. You're sleeping together, you know, or whatever. Only you and that person know you're committing that fornication. Can I give you a biblical account of a shrine prostitute or a sacred prostitute? Yes, I sure can. In Genesis chapter 38, it talks about Judah, who had slept with his daughter-in-law, Tamar, even though he didn't recognize her. He did not. Now, he knew she was a hoe. I'm just keeping it real now. He knew she was a hoe because when he gave her some credentials to identify him by, he sent his friend back to pay the debt that he owed. And what was the first thing that came out of the friend's mouth? Where's that prostitute, you know, that was, you know, by the way. And them people was like, we ain't got no prostitute here. So Tamar, who came out of her widowhood, listen, came out of her widowhood, took off her widow clothes and put on her hoeing garments. Put on her prostitution garments. You know, that stuff we wear to church that's revealing, and we know it's too tight, and you got to keep pulling it down when you take a step, and you can't sit down without ladies. And man, you know your pants too tight, and you going up in there, and you got no underclothes on. Come on, you know what you're doing. Yes, there's also a word for the men, too. Mm-hmm. Not just the women. Matter of fact, I wrote this down because there's a particular word that the men are called priest prostitutes. Yeah, y'all, the men prostitute too. And anytime you allow the enemy to use you to lure other people into that sexual perversion, that sin, which is an abomination before God, you are wrong. And it's time for correction. That is not the purpose of going into the house of God. For you to go in there and lure God's people into sin. If you're doing it, stop it. Allow the Spirit of God to bring conviction to your heart. And turn that thing around. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17 and 18. Please go back and read these scriptures at your leisure. It talks about when you bring the hired money, ladies, we got a boyfriend, we kicking it. He give us a little piece of change. We all in church feeling like giving, so we want to give of that money. That's hired money. And the word of God in Deuteronomy 23 calls that an abomination before God. So here, and same thing for the men as well. So here now, you know, we want to roll up in there and we want to give God, break God off a little piece of something that we done have earned through hoeing, through prostituting. See, let me tell you something. I have to say it this way because for too long we have been deceived and blinded by the enemy. And because this doesn't really come out of the mouths of our teachers or across the pulpits anymore like it used to in the days of old, doesn't mean that God has changed his mind. We have been called to a life of holiness. Let's get our life back into perspective. That's what this has really been all about. The call of God, come back to the life of holiness that I have set you apart for. Now, our time is winding down. We have almost less than a minute. But I had to put this out here because this is what God wanted his people to know. Every time you fornicate, every time you wear one of these masks and carry out what you're doing, you are actually worshiping another God. He is not pleased with that. So, Brother Robert, I thank you, sir, for being a part of the show on this evening. And you know, y'all chose you. That was the reason why I came to you. I prayed and I asked. And of the two people, the three actually, you were the only one that said yes and showed up. So thank you. And I pray the blessings of God on you for your obedience. And for those of you that tuned in this evening, I know it seems like I'm having to cut it all short. I don't want us to get cut off. But I thank you for your time this evening. And all I say to you is blessings and shalom, shalom, which means peace, peace be unto you. I love you all and appreciate you all. Thank you so much. Have an awesome, awesome evening.